Good morning, everyone. Oh, okay, still morning. Yeah. Quickly, I think we'll just look into the word and would look at a conversation that I perceive in my spirit that God would have us look into as the people of God and as people that God has great plans for. Hallelujah. So let me quickly tell us, one of the reasons why the word of the Lord will not be scarce in our midst is because God has a plan. So when a project supervisor is missing from a project, that project might never be completed. You know, I know of a certain project, like house project like that. It was a wicked supervisor. And every time estimate was done for that house, he was actually building his own house. And so if you're buying one bag of sharp cement, you buy two. So one for his own. So it was where I'm going to, it was never in the site. It was never in the site. And you know, if you even know how long it took to build what they eventually built, it was very ridiculous. You know, when I found out that you can actually even do some things in days, I thought they do those things in years because of the way that project was executed. And so I said that to say that when the word of the Lord is coming to us consistently, intensely, and with clarity, it's like a building site. It's like a quarry, you know, that God is building, making blocks, you know, doing things together, then it will go use at a site, and then it becomes a very amazing building. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. So, you know, I'm also saying this because, you know, some people might not yet have settled in the house, and so you're wondering at the consistency. So, you know, maybe some of these things, you experience it with programs. You know, where maybe you come for a program at the beginning of the year, then maybe in between the year, the word is strong again. Then maybe at the end of the year, because you don't want to die. You know, the word also has to be strong. You know? But God has really been merciful to us. Can you hear me very well?
Yes,
God has really been merciful to us that his word is not scarce in our midst. You know, and you yourself, you are a testimony of this. The word of the Lord is not scarce in your life. You know, it's that practical. You know that you're living your day, you're doing all that you're doing because you are guided by the word of God. And so this is also a prayer to someone. You know whether you've not, whether you've integrated well in this house, or God is helping you integrate, or you're still finding your footing as regards a local church, you know, I'm praying that God would help you to see the importance of what I'm saying at this time in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Yeah, the word of the Lord is not scarce. And it's not the brilliance of men. That's what Paul said, the eloquence. You know, I've not come to you with eloquence of speech. You know, eloquence means people that are using the right English at the right time. And that's not, there was a time where, you know, we knew what eloquence was. You know, when, you know, there's this man then, he came to our NYC camp. He has just one particular story. You know, some of, if I mention his name, some of you might know him. He's a motivational speaker. So I think they brought him to the NYC camp. And he gave this his line again. No, he gave his line. That was my first time meeting him. And every, you know, typically if they brought other speakers, it was always a boring moment. Like people were not going to pay attention. People are going to be thinking they will find their life partner, you know, the way NYC camp is, you know. And, but when they brought this man, he held, I can't remember how many we were, but it was a large camp. He held everybody's way. Like, everybody stayed glued to him. He was saying his thing, but it was as though he was speaking to everybody. So everybody was, even me myself, I was like, ah, my life. Oh, God. I was looking at, like, the way they were looking at the snake that was hung. That, hey, if this man leaves and he doesn't download to us. And so everybody was I think they even clapped for him because nobody had done that before. Even the NYC coordinator were like, ah. So even this, our NYC can be, people can be this quiet. Everybody was listening with rapt attention. Fortunately, I went for another program that the man came again. As he wanted to start the same language, but I know you. Oh, le mommy. The same line. And I looked at everybody in the room. They were held bound. I'm like, see, eloquence is powerful. Maybe because we saw, first, many of us, the first place we saw eloquence was in the Bible. So we've not seen it practical. Eloquence is like the speech Obama gave and people voted for him. That's eloquence. Eloquence can hold the minds of people. Like, it's a powerful thing. It can, people just be held bound. I'm like, ah. They'll just think this is a savior. That's, they will be like, ah. It's like we've not heard something like this ever. And so by the time he started his line like this, ah, he said, we know you. No, 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 you won't catch me. Because nothing came out of it after the whole, all of us were still running up and down, walking in my shape, you know. But we really thank God that God can help us to, actually, for some people, that's the best they have. Honestly, for some people, it's the eloquence of men. That's the best they have. But when you have something greater, that's why you can obviously, you know, push that aside. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. It was so funny. I think there was even a time, at least the little I know about church and the, you know, the way church has been, particularly in the communities that I have grown in. You know, there was a time even the fathers thought that was what was missing in their message. You know, that when they looked at the church, the youths were not there. And probably they sat down one youth or two youth, and maybe the youths pointed them and said, see where we're all going to. And by the time they checked their message, which was true, and they looked at it, they said, ah, it wasn't sweet. You know, people were not ginger. So, you know, they admitted. And some of them actually even gave room to some of the activities that they felt those youth needed, you know, to retain them in church. You understand? And so it can deceive even people to leave what is true. So is that powerful? So for Paul to use it as a reference, it means that it can be what you are doing. Like it can be your worthy cause. It can be what you are laboring on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I'm really saying to us that when you are enjoying the word of God, it's not because people were schooled and then you are getting a download of what they've been schooled in. It's first of all, most importantly, about that God is interested in something here. It's like God has just put a site description here that I'm working here. And so as a project supervisor, project owner, like, I mean, everything that has to do with him doing something here, he visits regularly. He visits regularly. Hallelujah. And we thank God also for the presence of the Holy Spirit, you know, who is the one that is teaching us and guiding us into all truth. And so it's not a casual thing that is happening here. And I'm just trying to bring up our awareness and also bring us to appreciation. To bring us to appreciation of what God is doing in our midst. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. So today, I want us to briefly look at, I think maybe what I could term it is the day of light and glory. That's what I can term it. But if that title changes along the way, please just let's allow that. Amen. 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 I feel like I can't hear myself very well, but can you guys hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Okay. The day of light. What did I miss? Like, that was like a twinkle of an eye. Amen. Amen. The days of light and glory. The days of light and glory. You know, some weeks back, you know, I did say to Ross that we should be aware that we are in the day of the Lord. We are in the day of the Lord. And when I said that, I also said that there could be other ways you can describe your day, you know. You can, or to describe the day, it could be said that we are in the last days, which is 100% correct. We are in the last days. We are in the, it's also called the perilous times, where perils happen. So we're in the last days. We're also in evil days, you know, which is typical of every day, you know, and that's why Bible admonishes us to redeem the time, for the days are what? They are evil. So, but because we're in the day of the Lord, there are activities that are happening in the day of the Lord that as children of God, we ought to be aware of it. You know, for example, you know, when you come to the building site, if it's the time to lay the foundation, everybody's aware that this period is foundation we are laying. When it gets to the, what do we call the decking? No, you know, I think they use the like, I think she decking, you know. When they get to the decking, everybody's aware that we're at the decking stage. So I'm also trying to say to us that there is an activity that is happening in this day of the Lord that is that comprises of the day of light and glory. Like in the day of the Lord, glory is happening. That's what I'm saying. In the day of the Lord, light is happening. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So let's go to Isaiah chapter 60. Father, we thank you. Thank you for utterance. Thank you for understanding. Thank you for liberty in our heart that you have granted already. Amen. Amen. Let's go to Isaiah 60. It says, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Verse 2. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Let's go back to verse 1. Amen. Amen. It says, arise, shine, for your light has come. Can we say, arise, shine, for your light has come?
Arise, shine, for your light has come.
Now, when Prophet Isaiah came into this experience, it was a reminder to the children of Israel of a position they ought to take. And then we'll still read the many verses that are after these three verses that we've read. But I want us to focus on the call that the prophet declared over the people of Israel. Now, it wasn't so much about guys were frustrated, let us do something about our situation. Like, we have been in captive, Jerusalem is in ruins, it has been burnt down. We've been moved into captivity. Our land is now so much of a desolate land. And then he's saying, guys, arise and do something about it. So it wasn't so much about a call for revolution. And by the way, today is Independence Day, right? Yeah, don't worry. It's, if you want to call it Independence Service, it's Independence Service. Yeah, I just remember now that it's Independence Day. And this message itself is even connected to it. I didn't remember, but. So he told them that they should what? Arise and shine. Now he gave us the reason why he wanted them to do something. He says, arise, shine, for your light has come. So let's try and maybe do a rephrase. I'm not sure what other translations made of this. Now, because, no, stay there, please. I want to give it my own revised standard. Please, just stay there. Guys, people of God, your light has come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. So therefore, arise, shine. So you understand now. So it wasn't so much about the frustration that they've had in captivity that the prophet is now telling them that arise, shine. Arise, shine. But there was a huge reminder of what God has done. And so their strength to arise and to shine is on the basis that light has come, glory has come. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. The strength of the call was what God has done. So he wasn't telling them, it's not frustration that would make them arise, or the prophet was telling them to rise up because they've seen a lot. As we all know, the devil doesn't intend to release any man to freedom because he has dealt too much with them. It's as though there's still something left to be dealt with. Like the person that would literally tell himself that I'm done. Like the devil will say, it still remains small. You know, the Bible says when there's hope. If there's still a little, you know, tiny hope, the devil is not done. And that's why he will come to what? To steal. He will not steal and go. He will think again that God can still prosper you. Let me kill. But after killing, I mean, that should be like the height of wickedness. But you're like, God can raise him. Oh. If this guy dies, God can raise him. Then he will destroy so that there's no reference for resurrection. You understand what I'm saying? So the call that the prophet made here, you know, I perceive in my heart that it was a, you know, like wake up call. Like a wake up to what God has done. And he said that what God has done is that their light has come. Their light has come and the glory of God is risen upon them. You know, I say to GCCC today, your light has come and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Because there are many possibilities, not in the rising and shining. The possibility is in what God has done. And we'll see this at the later part or the other verses in the scripture. The prophet told them, rise, shine. And so when God does a thing, there is a responsibility with us as well. So God did this part, which was the light that came, God brought the light. The glory that came, God brought the glory. But the prophet told them, you have to rise and you have to shine. Some of us are very familiar with this scripture, right? But I want you to have, you know, God help you this morning. Because we're going somewhere. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So quickly, let's do a very short Bible study. I want us to quickly look at the word light. The word light. I want us to study light. Let's go to John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Verse 5. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Amen. 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 I think they're increasing. So it says, in the beginning was the Word. Please go back to verse 1. And the Word was with God. Now we all know that this described the beginning of the beginning, meaning before we had anything, this was the experience with the Trinity. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and that Word was with God, and that Word was God. Bible also says that there are three that bear record in heaven. It says the Word, the Spirit, and the Father. Amen. 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 He says, it was in the beginning with God. Verse 3. All things. I think we've looked at this before, where we said nothing that was made, that wasn't made by this, is nothing. So if you have anything that was not made by the word, then it's nothing. So he says all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. Verse 4. Can you put 4 and 5 together? In him was life. So in this word was life. And that life became the light of men. And now he told us about what the light does. He says the light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Now let me quickly say this. The light shining, it's only darkness that should be in confusion. When the light is shining, another light should not be in confusion of a light. Now let me tell you why the Apostle Paul told us that we are not a sign unto ourselves, but we are signs unto the unbelieving one. Is also related to this. He's saying to us that it's only darkness that should be in a confusion state. So for example, if my brother is shining as a light, if I am really a light, I shouldn't be in confusion of his light. Do we get that? I want to be sure, because that's not my message. But that darkness is the only one that is permitted to flee. Darkness is the only one that is permitted to be in confusion. Darkness is the only thing that is permitted to be in a state of comprehension, trying to understand. And so when God is beaming his light through you or through me, I shouldn't be in a perplexed state. Like, hey, what was happening here again? Because if it's the light of God, then it will be the same Spirit, it will be the same Lord, it will be the same Father of all. So we are not talking some strange thing here. Hallelujah. Can we read 1 John chapter 1 verse 5? We're still doing the Bible study on light. I want us to quickly look at light, majorly in three perspectives, or in three areas. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you. That what? Now, I can't hear us. And in him, what? It's no darkness at all. Okay. Let's go to John 8. We can start from verse 10. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, "Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." So these two places that we read now, first of all, talked about the personification of light. You're saying light being a person. It says God is light. So light can be a person, or a person can be light. You know. So God said here that he is light. Jesus told that adulterous woman that I am the light of the world. Amen. Amen. Maybe before we move away from, let's read all the verses we can read there. Let's go to chapter 9. Chapter 9 from verse 1. Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the work or the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can walk. Verse 5. He says, as long as I am in this world, I am the light of the world. So Jesus told everyone and everywhere he went that he is light in person. So that's the first thing I want us to know, that light is personified. There is light as a person. We, first of all, is God, also is Jesus, and also is us. So when he told the children of Israel, when the prophet told them, arise, shine, your light has come. It is not so much about the God of light or just Jesus, the light of the world, but it's also you as the light of the world. Like you as a person, like you are the light of the world. So it's light as a person. The second thing is, it's light as perspective. Now, when I say perspective, I'm also saying lens by which you interpret things. Now, when they say that somebody has light over an issue, it means the person has something that everybody is not seeing. Okay, let's look at John 3, where it talked about that the light reveals from verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men loved darkness rather than what? Light, because their deeds were what? Evil. Go on, please. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deed shall be exposed. So this is saying that the light here is a revealing thing. Meaning when matters are brought under that tool, it's able to reveal what people can't see with their natural eyes. So light is also a perspective by which we see. Light is a perspective by which we see. Light is a lens through which we judge matters. So when someone brings a marital matter to you, the reason why you would say this is possible, this is not possible, is because God has given you the light as it regards marriage. So I first of all said that light is personified. Light is personified. Light is a perspective or lens through which we see things. Now, many a times when we don't see ourselves as light, we tend to become, or we tend to add to the problem of the state of things in a place. Now, imagine if you are in this country and you don't see yourself as the light, you will most likely join the train of the wrong things happening. It will most likely be the way you do your thing. So, for example, if you're in business and you are not seeing yourself as the light of the world that God has put in that place, you will most likely do the business the way everybody in that space is doing the business. The last area that I want us to consider light is light being a godly principle that produces work. Now, what I'm saying is this, that light is what you have that produces good works. Let me give you an example. You know, when Jacob was in the house of Laban, now what he had that was producing strange animals, he breeded, he mixed the breeds. He produced what Laban didn't desire that he was going to produce. Now, that is light that is producing works. So now, I've said light being a person, light being perspective, you know, they bring matters to you. The way you judge matters is clearly different. You know, there are people like that. You know, you just know that when this one speaks, it's as if God just made a revelation happen. But it's also a tool by which we produce work. So that when the reason why they will give person A the job and they will not give person B the job is because they know that whatsoever is in the hands of person A would become successful. It will become a great produce. Let's look at Matthew chapter 5. We're talking about the days of light and glory. And we're looking into light in three areas. Light as a person. You know, God is light. You know, there are many things that we say God is. God is love, but God is also light. I think we've really looked at how much of God is love, you know. But God is light. God is light. Actually, the reason why the angels are not able to behold him is because of two things that are beaming from him, light and glory. Light and glory. Matthew chapter 5. So I think this is where, you know, he was speaking to us. I think from verse 13. Let's start from 13. It says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing, but to be thrown out and trampled up underfoot by men." You. Can you say, I? I am the light of the world. Yeah. So God is light. Jesus is the light of the world. You are the light of the world. And I want you to think of light in those three areas that I mentioned. You are personified light. You know, like Apostle Paul said, because I am on this boat, your lives have been preserved. Yeah, that's light as a person. He didn't say anything. No. He didn't say why there was storm. He didn't work magic. He didn't say storm, but because he is there. And that's actually the way we should see ourselves, that whenever we are introduced into any equation, it changes. See, there's so much reason why God would want to remind us that we are sojourners on earth is to remind us of what or who we are or what we carry. So when you look at a nation, this nation will not remain the same. Yeah. No, not because the nation has grown in vexation that I want to be like other nations or I want to be prosperous. No, it's because the guys that are called the light of the world, they are going to arise and then shine. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. Since you are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. You know, I say to the house of Nigeria that we, the light of the world, we would rise and shine. Yeah. Yeah. Because in this, restoration is there. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, "Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house." He says, "Let your light so shine before men." So this is the light being a person, light being a tool and a lens by which you judge matters as though God was in that context or that situation. But here he also said that your light can produce good works. It's as though light and glory, they are bread and beans. Yeah, yeah. Like, I checked the scripture. Like, many of the places where light is referenced, glory is there. So, you can't be a house of glory and you don't have light. And you can't be a house of light and you don't have glory. says, let your light so shine. You know, I perceive that when the light and the glory of the Lord is in a place, the only effort is for us to take a stand. And that's why he says, arise. Wake up. Take a stand. Take a stand. When he says, let your light so shine, it's like you have the light. You know, I just had a description in my mind this morning. You know, imagine if you have a torchlight and your effort is pointing the torchlight in the wrong direction. How many of you have been frustrated? Maybe you are trying to change the line from maybe phase one. You want to change to another phase. And you see someone, you help you hold the torchlight. And then the charge you have like this. Now, you know the abara that comes. Yeah. So you can see that our ability to do great stuff is also dependent on the energy we have put or the direction we have put in channeling the light. Because we can use the light to do a lot of things. You know, there was one understanding that God helped me to have as, I think it was during COVID. You know, I understood that as a child of God, if you don't learn to know what is major versus minor, because your hands are blessed, everything in your hand will be blessed. So as a child of God, if you do not know where to put your torch, like they said, this is where we need to illuminate, but you are illuminating the walkway. You will lighten the walkway. You will most likely see the rat and you'll be happy. So that the light is channeled in the wrong direction doesn't make it less of light. Light will forever be light. So when the prophet told them to arise and shine, it was a call for them to take a stand. It was like a wake-up call. Like, guys, wake up. Don't be laid back. You have light and glory. This season, you guys have a very precious thing from God. So take a stand. 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 Let's start from verse 4. And you know, these two things, they are cause. You know, when you hear cause and effect. Like, do this, then you will see the effect. And we will see the effect of, you know, day rising and day shining. You know, shining and rising, they are not just what you do something after you hear them. When he says shine, he says remove the obstruction. That's what shine is. You know, I had another analogy yesterday. You know, imagine if you had if you have something like this, and this thing that is obstructing it is dirty. You know, it will reduce the intensity of the light. Now, it's not that there is no, I don't know what wattage is this, but that light is it still has that much power. But the frame through which it is shining is dirty. And so the intensity that we get outside is lesser. Do you get it? It's not illuminating the, you know, many of us have used lanterns before, right? The one with kerosene. Now, it's still burning the same kerosene. He's still trying to shine as much as it can. But by the time we remove that glass and we clean it, you know, how many of you have had that experience? I've used one before. It will feel as if it's a new house. Yeah. When you clean. Now, when he says shine, he says do all the effort that you can to remove all the things that reduces the intensity of that light shining. Because we can easily tell ourselves that, maybe it's light now. It's supposed to shine. Now, first of all, shining requires that you point the light in the right direction. Shining also requires that you are removing the obstruction that reduces. For example, at our workplace, the way we reduce our light is that we don't talk. You know, I remember, I don't know if Toby remembers. There was a particular day, they were having a meeting at work. It was a town hall. And they were asking why people are not filling a survey. And one wind, I knew that the wind entered that meeting. You know when wind also joins Zoom? Somebody just said, could it be because we only limited the gender to male and female? It's so funny. We were all on Zoom, but you know, it was people were in the office. But why were we? Eh? We really you. Like, we were all of, like, my direct report, like, eh? We really you. Like, out of all the reasons why they didn't fill survey, is that they didn't extend the, you know, the way they've done it now. You know, I filled a form recently, and it was, and, I mean, because, see, as light, you have to tell people that you are also light. Yeah, you have to tell people that you are light. I was going to fill the form, and I had to go and Google the gender box, because what they put there was cis male, cis female, trans male. I was confused first, because that's my first time filling a form like that, and then they put maybe I prefer not to say. No, but I'm saying that because, see, when they were drafting that form, now you might be saying, oh, the world of inclusivity, blah, 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 and all of that. But there is a light bearer somewhere that when, you know, a brother reached out to me, and I think he currently works, he's a lawyer in a place where I think what they do majorly is much around this Planned Parenthood. You know, these people that they promote abortion, pro-choice, and I think it's pro-choice now. Yeah, pro-life. Okay, yeah, pro-choice. You know, and he was saying that, you know, what? How do I manage myself in this place? Like, because you are the lawyer, and most likely we are going to be advocating for. It was a bit. I was like, first of all, my brother, you have to be the light there. Meaning everything that is not the light, they have to know that you are the light. So it's now going to be a temptation. It's no longer going to be what you've willfully given yourself to. Meaning they will not have to now come to you. Say you will do this or not. Then you now say, God, what should I do? But first of all, you are telling yourself that you are the light in that place. You are the light in that place. You are not, you know, even if it has to do with putting a tag on your profile. You know what I've done recently in my profile? I'm a faith-driven entrepreneur. Now, if you don't want to give me your money, take your money away. If you don't want to do business with, because that label, you know, it gives me the ability that when you now come, I can still have that same conversation with you. You know, I was shocked when I was in Sweden, and someone wanted to talk to me, and someone just brought out his cigarette. I'm like, okay, maybe, you know. And me, I can't even contain the smoke and all of that. But I said, let me see, maybe he has something to say. Then after a while, he now offered me, say. And you know what happened? When I got there, I didn't quickly propagate that. The light don't come out. The light don't come out. So after that week, that was what I started doing. Because your identity, that you have light, is not, that's not the reason they will respect you. It's because you are rising and you are shining. Yeah. It's not so much about, Christian has joined our organization. Oh, okay. Oh. No. If you don't do well, you will become a pagan. Particularly when they've paid for the cost of sin. You know, some companies, they don't have budget for unwinding. There are companies that have budget to unwind. Yeah. There was a time a boss called someone that I've worked with. He said, how do you unwind? He said, I just catch some fun with my family, blah, blah. He said, this is powder. You know, I use this to. Like cocaine. We're saying this is cocaine. So some of you think it's only in the streets you get addicted. Like, won't be what's it be share? Like, oh, you can. There's budget. There's a lot of money. At times, we think that the reason why we're not doing stuff is because we cannot do it. It's because it's not funded. Yeah, if company gives you credit card, they just give you credit card and they send you to Port Harcourt. They just give you credit card. Like, just swipe. If you don't know that you are light as a person, the perspective, at times you will reject things because the perspective you are seeing that thing from is like, this is a trap. And light judges all things. That's the beautiful thing about light. You can't hide. That's what he says, light will declare everything that is evil. It will reveal, it is a revealer of all things. And so we would remove the obstructions. You will remove what has made your mouth shut. And some of us will borrow money where you should not borrow money from. So you can't preach again. Yeah. No. I'm serious. Yeah. Like you've asked for help where you shouldn't have asked help from. It has now become a bait. So don't let, I will run away from the Bible study now and would focus on Isaiah 60. That light is a person. Know yourself as the light of the world. Know that you have a perspective to life, which is light. The lens by which you judge everything should be light. You know, when matters are brought to your table, you know, light is also your wisdom today. The light, particularly the light of the word of God, that one is the greatest. See, it's as though you can judge all matters. I mean, the light in the word of God. Like the Bible. The Bible makes us wise. Like in all things, like as a husband, as a wife, as a businessman, like there's a mirror or there's a lens in the scripture that Bible gives to you to judge, to look at all things. Two friends that are fighting is in the Bible. The way to judge that matter is in the Bible. Someone stole from one and took to another. Like, the Bible is like the source of light. And that's why the light is also ascribed to his word. It says, thy word is a lamp unto my, a light unto my what? Let's look at, let's not misquote it. Oh yeah, a lamp unto my feet and a what? A light unto my path. Yeah, thank you. So there's a lot of illumination in the word. There's illumination in the word. That's where we get perspective from. Now when someone is always saying, let me check the Bible, that's the right source for illumination. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's go back to Isaiah 60. Thank you, Jesus. And in the few minutes we have left, we will look at the effect of rising and shining. You know, like I said, arise and shine is a curse. They say, do this because this has happened, and then this will happen. You know, as a nation, if we take our stand and we remove every barrier that reduces the intensity of our light shining. You know, one of it is you put yourself at the top of the city. That's one way to shine. You put yourself, you know, there's one lecturer that I'll forever be grateful to God for him. He's a surveyor I think he's a doctor now. I mean, every lecturer would always do their things the lecturer way. But this man did everything and tied the way they normally do it. And so, for example, if you're here and you become a lecturer, it means you have to be a lecturer that is a light. Yeah. For example, they were so anti-fellowshipping in my faculty then, he became the patron. So that when they carry us, they'll carry him. And he was respected. And how he was even respected was, it wasn't small respect. Is this our respect? Your child will die tomorrow. Ah, okay, let's pray for him so that he will not die. Like, he was full of illumination. Like, the other lecturers knew that this guy knows stuffs. He's the type that students come into, say, you have been seen, you know, fornication, oh yeah, then you give your life to Christ. Like, is that, you don't go to his office and you either get born again or choose not to be born again. It's not like you are convinced that you are not a sinner. Like he will literally give it to you. So it was a light in that faculty. And so some of us, we will get to places of influence. It's not so much that we now drop what is in us, or the perspective that God has given to us, or what has given us the ability to do great things. Like I said, the light you have is a tool to produce works. Actually, the reason why people will give glory to God is because you are using the light of God to produce works. That's what we call good works. Works that lead people to an awe of Jehovah. To say, oh, Father, we thank you for sending this, you know, like Papi said in the morning, that our employers, when they see our pastors, they will say, thank you. This guy is a light to this organization. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So let's go back to Isaiah. It says, lift up your eyes all around. See, they are all gathered together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be nursed at your side. Go to 5. Then you shall see and become radiant, and your heart shall swell with joy, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you, and the wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you. See, guys, let me just be in plain terms. See, when you have what the world don't have, they will give their resources to you to part with you. Honestly, like, they will give what they have, what is most precious to them. They will give it to you so that you can be part of them. And that's why everything God has given to you, ensure you are using the light of God to be the best at it. Because wealth of Gentiles don't just return. Wealth of Gentiles don't return. Now, it's this effect of their rising and shining is that the abundance of the sea. Now, what's the abundance of the sea? If you look at it, it could either be what happens on the sea, where maybe a pirate will take the goods of this one, or maybe a ship capsize, or the major way by which they were moving things then was the sea. Even Queen of Sheba, when she wanted to bring, you know, I think it was 100 ship of gold, like to Solomon, you know, that was the way by valuable goods were being moved. So it says the abundance of the sea. This is not saying fish or maybe whale. No. It says what the things that they move on the ship, on the sea, it would come to you. It would be turned to you. It was going to Egypt, though. But they will say, no, this is where we are sailing to. It says the wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you. Let's go on. The multitudes of camels shall cover your land. The dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, all those from Sheba shall come. Those ones, their expertise in gold. Remember Queen of Sheba now. It says they will bring what? Gold and incense. And they shall proclaim the praises of the Lord. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together to you. The rams of Nebaoth shall minister to you. They shall ascend with acceptance of my altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory. Who are these who fly like clouds and like doves to their roots, to their roost? Surely the coastland shall wait for me, and the ships of Tarshish will come first to bring your sons from afar. Their silver and their gold with them, to the name of the Lord your God and to the Holy One of Israel, because he has glorified you. You know, I really want us to have faith in the house this morning as regards this. You know, at times, the way we see our effort, we see the reward in a commensurate state. Meaning, if I do this, I get this. And so it blows our mind when God will say, we can just do this. And the effect of our obedience will just be... See, the best that could have happened to Israel here, eh, is that their sons will return back from afar. That's the best. And they ferry them to their land. That's the best. Like, don't give us anything. Don't even tell us you are sorry. Don't do any other thing. Just get us back to our land and we're fine. We'll go and fix ourselves. We'll build our walls. Just leave us. Many a times when you're in captivity, freedom is your greatest reward. You don't even want to believe that they can free somebody from prison and then they will say, oh, we're sorry for jailing you. Now we have we've written a check of $200 million because they jailed you wrongly. Even the person they jailed, he does not believe he deserves any other thing aside from freedom. Because he just believes that if I'm free, I should be able to still work things out. But what God does when light and glory is around, it's not just what we are expecting. Because he manages the effect. We are responsible for the cause, for what we need to do. He says, when you arise, when you shine, you will now see the dynamics of what happens. He says, the wealth of the Gentiles, they will bring it to you. I'm trying to look for a very, very simple... So a simple way to explain the wealth of the Gentiles is, for example, when men believe that you have something and the only way they can get it is when they give you something to own in what they have. Like when men just say that, if this guy is introduced into this thing, we don't know what he has, but we know he has something. But if we introduce him into this, it will take us beyond where we are. I mean, if we amongst all the brilliant candidates, if we hire this one, we just perceive that this one will not give us trouble. This one will most likely not just do the basics. This guy is going to exceed whatever expectations we have towards him. So I'm not saying something in the air. I'm saying things that people love to join themselves with you. You know, I remember some years back, I had a dream, and the dream was for another company that my friend was running. I mean, we had been friends since the university days, but he was running a company, a very, very brilliant company. And I had a dream, and that dream was their five-year plan, like what they should do to become the most relevant company in that industry. And so when I had that dream, I understood the dream, but I wasn't part of what they were doing. I was doing something else. And so the next thing I needed to do was, okay, so how should I just call them, tell them? And I also, no, join yourself with them. And I told my employer here that, I mean, I'm going to the next, like, I need to leave here now. And because I'd been a great and immense blessing to him. He's now my mentor from employer, you understand? And then I resigned. I left. And when I went to the other place, see, the first thing I told them was, I have a dream. You know, that day I felt as if I was Joseph. No, who goes to a company and says, I have a dream? Is that how they join company? The first thing you look for, do they have vacancy? If they have vacancy, you apply. Maybe they will consider you. So I needed to see both of them, the CEO and the CTO. I said, I have a dream, or I had a dream. I'm like, okay, what's the dream? I said, no, before we go, I'm joining myself. I'm not going to say the dream now. I said, okay, we'll get back to you later. You know, now get back to me. No. I said, this dream has an implication. I'm meant to join myself with you guys. So, you know, that wouldn't still excite them. Like, maybe I want to do 419 for them. Like, it's not like we've backslided. One of them was actually one of the most vibrant pastors then in Unilag. Like, he's a vibrant guy. So, he's not, even if I was saying it wrong, he would tell me, oh, God, what paro? He was, yeah, he's an Holy Ghost boy. And so, after we said, okay, if that's what it would take, then I told them the dream. We left that room knowing fully well that, when are you resuming? That was how we left that room. I said, okay, I think I should be done with all I'm doing maybe in 2 weeks, and I'll join the ship. So there's mission out there. Because the way we would imagine this is that God is sending us to places to be the illumination. You know, I remember some years back, and it was my dad that told me this. You know, there was a man that was at the hooks of the tax regulators. And the only thing my dad knew was just to be the light to that guy and pray that scenario from. Because when you're in the hands of FIS or LRS, it's like you wish you didn't. Because they know how to frustrate people, you get. Particularly when they think you are they're at an advantage and you are the ones at disadvantage. And so he modeled everything that was impossible to that man. See, when that man saw that it really happened, he just said, "Whoa, kete to soro no, kete whoa bamuto, you know." When he told me that was how the car came, I was like, "Hey, I like this kind of because when MN was growing up, man, he thought you have to work for 18 years to have official car. Then they will not put the logo of the company on the body." Yeah, that was what he told me. My boss told me then. He said, "Lauluwo, to be fair, surely, we buy one guy. We are called Koda Bubumo in like 18 years. We are keeping on the official car." Yeah. That was what I was. That was my. See, if you think I had big dream. And then I had not come to this church. It was this church that said, "That's not my dream." I said, what did you ban me? Yeah, I had planned myself that I will go like this. I will pass all of them. I will labor well. If not, my joke will see. It was when I came to this church, I had a very profound dream. And that's why you have to be the light. And in that dream, I just entered the office. Everywhere was dark. The office that we, the junior staff, were sitting was light off. Then as I was entering, I saw a particular boss that was leaving. I said, "Ah, sir, Ibu Lenlo." He said, "Emiti Lo." I'm like, So I walked in. I looked at our own junior staff section. I didn't see anybody. I looked to my left. I saw strange managers. I didn't see the managers that I knew. And so I knew that something is happening here. When I woke up, the Lord told me that my time there was up. And I felt that, okay, everything was still bubbling there, honestly. And so I took my leave when an opportunity came. And from the week when I left, everybody in this department left. Nobody remained. Then something just kicked out all the managers. Very strange. You know, people that have been in the company for like 15 years, 20 years, they were the veterans of the company. Like, what is giving the company money? They were literally the ones that built it. Somehow, everything just scattered. And they all left. And that was where they said, "Me, I will stay there for 18 years. Like, and I will not have official car." See, if you're not the light, if you don't shine the light, if you don't use the light as a perspective to which you see things. See, this church, what we enjoy is because we have light. Yes, when matters come like this, we know how to respond. We know how to position ourselves. We know how to be. We know how not to be. So that's what light does to you. I know somebody will be asking, "So what happened in the company I joined with the dream?" Yeah, I joined them. I joined them. I joined them. And things moved forward. Just that the part that pained me was in executing that dream. And that's why I know that God is not always joking when he gives you something divine. Guess what happened? When they were, you know, after a while, you know, things became slow. And I'm like, "Guys, let's do this thing now." We're not sure. God gave that idea to another top entrepreneur that I know of in that sector. See, when he built that idea, it became the best known idea in this country. Like, it was so clear. Like, that was what he did. He didn't even add to it. He didn't remove from it. He did exactly. If I have an audience with him, that's what I'll ask him. That, "Sir, did God show you this?" Because he did that, and boom. From there, he started going into another serious endeavor in the edutech space again. So that's what light does. You will not just become a troublesome person. You will become the solution everywhere. People will want to join themselves with you. And so when he says they will give you the wealth of the Gentiles, they will say, what can we give you? What can we give you to? Those things are true. What can we give you? There's no seat. Okay, what can we send away to bring this? Yeah, I'm serious. What can we remove out of the cap table? Like, people will sell their shares on the secondary share sale just so that you can come in. So that they can have equity to give you. Because you might be telling them, I don't think people can pay me salary. Maybe just step in and maybe like 15% in your company. Yeah, I'm serious.
Father, help our hearts today.
Yeah, I wasn't there before, so I know God can help. God can help. And one of the ways God restores the wealth of the Gentiles is that we own because we have been invited. And it's not you pray that, God, give me the wealth of the Gentiles. It's an effect. It's not they didn't say go and pray. That because we pray this, that pray that the wealth of the Gentiles be returned to us. No, it's an effect. It's an effect of light and glory. See, people love glory. People love light. Even the guys in the dark, they love the light. Because they know if they use that light, they will get something strange. They will get something that is greater than their own output. Like their own best output. Let's read on and we'll wrap up. Thank you, Jesus. It says, the sons of the foreigners shall build up your walls. Sorry, is that our service? It's well. God bless you. Papi. We give God praise. Amen, amen, amen. He will not be there now when Papi is chastising me for time. And their kings shall minister to you. He says, even at their seat of power, you would have audience. You would have audience. For in my wrath I struck you. Now this is how Israel got to where they got to. But in my favor, I have had mercy on you. Like they got into real trouble. They got into trouble. That's why they went into captivity. He says, but in my favor, I have had mercy on you. Verse 11. Therefore, your gates shall be open continually. They shall not be shut day or night that men may bring to you. Now, the reason why you will not close your gate is not so that things will be stolen from your abode. It's so that you don't know when they will come. That's why, see, at times, don't put your phone on silent all the time. Yes, yes. Yes, there was a day somebody called me from Switzerland. Switzerland, Abby? Yeah, Swiss. That's Switzerland, Abby? Yeah. He just called me. Said, hey, I said, what are you doing? Blah, blah, blah. I want you to blah, blah. I'm like, I could have turned off that phone. I could have turned off that phone. I could have just said, okay, I don't expect any great thing to come out from this my phone. And the guy put up a call. And because even your day is not short, bad people too will come. That was the one thing I left. There was another guy that called. He said, hello, blah, blah, blah. We want you to... See, people love light. Even the people that, after what they do is everyone. They want you to... So that when they're calling, and this is the person that's... They will say, at least this is somebody that joined. So the guy called me. He said, there's this project. Okay, we want to build some remittance. But I want to be moving money from China to UK, then to Nigeria. See, as the guy was saying it, I was here, EFCC, EFCC, EFCC. I'm serious. Like, that was the only thing I was, he was talking to here. The Holy Spirit was speaking here. EFCC. I'm serious. The guy promised everything. He said, money is not the issue. The money will be moving. It's serious money. You build the app. He said, so we meet at East Potter at Magodo Face. Okay, he asked, where do I stay? I stay at Magodo. He said, so we should set up a meeting at East Potter so that we can wire out all the details. You'll be owning stuff. And he's a reputable person. In Nigeria, here, like you want to work with, but that he was saying everything. I have not stayed one night in cell. I was, when you are here, Interpol, yes, it's Interpol, yes. and so, as light bearers, you are also careful. And that's why you need light as lens. Don't you say, ah, I'm the light of the world. Anywhere, any light, lay war. Anywhere, any light, lay war. No. You might not come out as the light of the world again. Yeah. Hallelujah. So you need light as perspective. When they, like juicy offer, you see this is clear. Nothing looks wrong in it. See, one thing I've learned and I've known firsthand is that people, the whole world, love light. See, they don't even mind that you don't drink, don't they? Just be with them. The world loves light. See, when they say darkness cannot comprehend, it means darkness don't remain the same. Like, they're just in awe. They're just like, you know, this guy is a mystery. Let's let him come close. The charge for us this afternoon is that, friends, we will arise. See, we're a people that God has made this place a citadel of light and glory. And we are to go out there. Can we rise up on our feet, please? Because I want us to just respond to God in a few minutes. Tell him that I would arise, I would arise.
I will arise as Christ was raised from Christ.
Tell him I will arise and I will shine. Say I would arise and shine, I would arise and shine, I would arise and shine. Rise from your ashes. Rise from your mediocrity. Shine, shine, shine. Remove the obstructions. Remove them, remove them. Remove what has not made people see that you are the solution. At your workplace, say to God, I become the light bearer. I become the one that represents light. I become the one that everyone sees a solution in him. Sees a solution with him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, opportunities that we have lost, can we say, Father, we repent of them. We repent of opportunities that we've lost to be the light, to use light as a yardstick to judge, to even produce good works.